The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
The League of Ireland has hit the headlines after 10 men were arrested in a highly complex investigation into alleged match fixing. Five of the men have since been released without charge, with the Gardaí saying a file will be prepared for the Director of Public Prosecutions. Seven former players are under investigation, with authorities saying one particular club is at the centre of the investigation, as well as two games which were played in 2019. Now, for more on this, we're joined by Daniel McDonald, football correspondent of the Irish Independent. Daniel, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
Now, I must say, when I heard this story break, you may have known about it. It was off my radar and I was shocked.
Yeah, no, I think it is one of those where, I mean, the headline when it came out yesterday morning, it led a number of bulletins and the raw details, I suppose, as you laid them out there. I think it is shocking to a lot of people. But unfortunately, I guess, to a lot of people who are maybe familiar with the League of Ireland scene, who would cover it closely, who would have been aware of the fact that, as was mentioned in the FAI statement yesterday, that this is almost the latest development in a sort of a probe that dates back to 2019. I suppose at some stage there was possibly an expectation that you would hear about this incident or this investigation again. But because there's been a sort of a reasonable passing of time, and then all of a sudden you have this operation launched with 10 people arrested, there possibly is that shocking element to it, but I suppose the subject matter itself wouldn't be hugely shocking to people within or around football.
Now, the idea that the League of Ireland itself would be of interest to gamblers, that might seem strange. Is this thought to be local gamblers or gamblers in other jurisdictions who bet on anything?
Yeah, I mean, this is a point that I suppose there's this specific case where it's somewhat unclear in that respect, but it does appear to be more of a local element to this one. There have been previous cases in the last decade where UEFA would have reported to the FAI that there was, you know, betting in the Asian markets on League of Ireland games. Unusual sort of amounts being staked. So this is something that I suppose has been a general issue of this nature in the last decade or so when, as you mentioned, I mean, people worldwide will bet on anything. The League of Ireland is a summer league. So there are games taking place at times of the year where maybe there isn't that much football activity, maybe in other countries. And what we have seen, unfortunately, is that while some of the games, and in general the games in question, are pretty low profile ones, even in the League of Ireland context, they may be low profile, not attended by huge amounts of people, but yet they can still be subject to, a volume of bets or, a size of bets. Yeah. That would be sort of, would happen for some of the biggest games in the world in terms of the scale. And this is obviously the problem here.
So the suspicion when you get a nondescript League of Ireland game having significant money being staked on it with the bookies, wherever they may be, online or in real life, they're saying, well, there are more people betting on this than there are people watching the match. So, the finger of suspicion immediately is pointed that somebody somewhere has the inside track on what's going to unfold.
Yeah, like it could be a volume of people betting, or it could be maybe a small number of people betting high volumes. But either way, what would happen in this instance, or like the bookmakers would have what's called sort of a memorandum of understanding with sports organisations that they're sort of duty bound to inform them if there is, unusual activity on a particular game. I suppose like League of Ireland games would be graded at a particular level in terms of what type of, traffic or business you would expect to do in a particular game. If, something happens that is way above that threshold, there's a sort of duty to report it. There have been instances, again, not again in this case, but in the last decade, where there was even one game where a senior official in the FAI went into a dressing room before the match to say, lads, we're aware of, there's a lot of big bets going on to this game, just almost to test the waters and see what's going on here. So there is a duty to report these things. And yes, the red flag goes off. And while we're still waiting to find out maybe the specifics of this case in terms of, you know, numbers and the number of vets and the volume of vets. It's clear that there was unusual activity that triggered this investigation.
Mm. Now, how far back are we going? I mentioned 2019. Does it go back further than that?
Yeah, so it does appear that while this particular investigation, which again centres around activity surrounding one club, I think it started with a handful of games in 2019 that were under an investigation. But from my understanding is that as part of, I suppose, that investigation and those discussions or whatever they've uncovered from that, it's broadened out a bit and they are looking back to games in the previous years going as far back as 2016. Mm. It started off from a couple of games in 2019, but they're certainly now exploring maybe a little bit more historic activity as well.
Now, I don't bet very often. The Grand National, maybe a race or two in Cheltenham, that'd be the height of my gambling for the year. So I don't really understand the nature of football gambling. What do people bet on? Obviously, you think, okay, Arsenal to beat whoever by two goals, that's a kind of a logical bet. But you can bet on more kind of obscure things than that.
Yeah, and that's quite an important point in the context of this because, again, people will hear match fixing and they will naturally assume that everything relates to the fixing of a match, you know, as in the results, a team wins or a team loses. When in some of these instances in recent years, it is more the volume of markets available and what would be deemed maybe not the most obvious one. So, and again, I'm not specifically relating to the case here, but, you know, I'm aware of previous investigations as well, where they would have looked at, for example, markets such as a penalty to be awarded in a game. That's something that someone could have a bet on. And obviously that could be manipulated by one or two people, as opposed to it being some sort of collective thing. It could involve a situation.
In other words, you bring someone down in the box savagely, and you're going to get a red card and it will surely be a penalty. So a penalty awarded, that could be a sure thing bet, because the person in receipt of cash could ensure that. A penalty being scored might be a different matter entirely.
Yeah, like if someone could miss a penalty, you know, and then you're in bother there. And I think in the UK in recent years, there was a couple of issues with spot betting, it's called, where to do with, you know, yellow cards and bookings and stuff like that. Because you can bet on, you know, a yellow card to be awarded in a particular minute of a game. I mean, this is the depth of markets that are available. So again, when people have an image of match fixing, they might think that it's something where like 22 players are engaged in some charade, when in reality, in some cases, what you could be talking about is a very small number who have the ability to control certain situations. And that's possibly a key point here, which is the sort of depth of markets available has probably opened up the options available to people for manipulation.
Yeah. Now, the reason this can happen is money, because someone's going to get some sort of a payday if they can organise one of these events to be predictable rather than being arbitrary. You know, it doesn't matter how much money you have in other leagues where the money would be much higher. There still have been scandals. But in League of Ireland, it's not a big paying league, and maybe the temptation is there.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, that is an accurate way to portray it. And this is why, as you mentioned, I mean, like football globally has been afflicted by this problem and at all sort of levels of the game. But it is true that I suppose in the lower levels where people have shorter term contracts, as you mentioned, they're not going to sort of retire off their earnings from football. This is why people in that situation would potentially be targeted. Because as I say, the stakes may be reasonably low. You know, the games may have low attendances, but you can find it easy to get a bet on those games as you might on a Champions League final. So this is why like globally in football in recent years, when UEFA, the authorities, when you have Interpol involved in these general cases, and they've been studying activity in a number of countries. But it is true that sometimes it's at the lower levels, it's easier to find people who can partake.
Yeah. And finally, what do we know without identifying the 10 individuals who were arrested, five of whom have been released? What do we know about the profile of them, whether they were players, ex-players, non-involved, relatives of players?
Yeah. I think in the last hour, I think four more have been released as well. So it's then, I think it's nine in total have been released and one remaining in custody. That's just a new development there. But of that 10, seven, you know, have played in the League of Ireland. Five no longer play in the League of Ireland. Two remain active in the league. And yes, there's three people who haven't been players. I think there is a relative element to that. But as you mentioned at the start, the age range is from the 20s to the 60s. So yeah, look, it's a sort of a broad age range, but the activities are centred around links to one particular club. And that is just the focus of the inquiry is around that.
No doubt we'll hear more about all of this in the coming days. Daniel McDonald, football correspondent with the Irish Independent. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.